Welcome back here at KJAM, and guests in the studio for us today, as joining us is Mike McGilvery and Jameson Barrett from the city of Madison. Gentlemen, thanks for stopping in today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Mike, we've got you here today, and I don't know what Jameson or Mike who wants to jump in. We, I think a couple of commission meetings now, we've talked about the parks master plan, and it's getting to be the time of year where we can get out and enjoy parks a little bit in Madison. So when we say parks master plan, what does that, you know, all kind of encompass, and what is kind of the plan for the city going forward? That's a big general question. I'll let you guys take it from there.
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. We're really excited to have this parks master plan in place. So these are documents that are common for a lot of cities to think strategically about different assets. In this case, we're looking at our park assets. So this is something we did internally, and I got to commend Mike and a lot of the staff internally that worked on this thing, and that saved our residents a significant amount of money as opposed to hiring a third party to do a plan such as this. And ultimately what we did is last year in 2025, we took an in-depth look at our assets and the quality of them and the life expectancy left on them, and then we did a lot of public input. We did a public survey that was open for about 40 days, and we received 337 survey responses. And then we had a couple engagement events as well, including being present at one of the downtown and Madtowns to promote the survey and to answer questions and to be with people in person. And so then over this winter, we took all of that data and all the survey responses, and we sifted through and we read every single one, and we came together with recommended projects and priorities that get wrapped up into this master plan. So the master plan document was recently approved by the City Commission, and that is about a 40-page document that outlines the whole process and includes a summary of all the survey results, the different priorities, and a lot of other information as too on the background and the community. But also, we know that most people probably aren't going to take a 40-page master plan and put it under the pillow at night.
Right.
So we do have a one- or two-page snapshot document that we summarize some of the key points in that. And that's got a map of our park assets, and then it summarizes how we came about this, as well as the recommended projects that have come out of it. So I think for the average resident in Madison, they're probably wondering, what's the important part of this, or what are those projects? And so we do have a list of projects that we are going to try to prioritize and keep in mind as we put together budgets and other actions over the next several years. This isn't something that's going to be done in 1 year, but we have a list of things that we've already started, a list of things that will be next up, and then there'll be some that are on the horizon as well that might take some saving up or just waiting for the right time as well. And Mike and his crew, they've done a great job of jumping into this. And Mike, do you want to kind of walk through, I guess, some of the things you've already been working on?
All right. Thanks, Jameson. One thing I want to just touch base on is we had some public engagement, like downtown Madtown, that aspect. And we listened to a lot of the people of their concerns, and it's not just driven when you're in the park areas. So, like, some stuff that might fall through the cracks. The City of Madison Parks Department takes care of approximately about 80 acres of property within the city limits. So with that being said, there's a lot of stuff from ball diamonds to park playgrounds to all different aspects. So some stuff can fall through the cracks. So what we found was dog waste stations was a high priority, which was a fairly minimal cost of installing some of them, and we have installed three of them at Westside Park already this year, along with two more that are additionally going to go into Bachman Park as a trial period. And then in the future, if it works well, we are going to try to add at least two of them in each park area.
And works well probably just means like people are actually using
utilizing them. Yes,
right.
Yes. So with that being said, we've drinking fountains. Sometimes they get overlooked because of the water bottle people that are all carrying a water bottle now. But drinking fountains was on that. So we repaired the one at Memorial Park that was broke, installed two new ones at Bachman Park, one by the playground and then one by the east parking lot or up by Diamond Number 3, if you're familiar with the place. Also, we are looking at the options of adding one at Totland Park that was disconnected during the install of the new water main in the RD project. So we're looking at the option of coming out of the new restroom facility that was added a year and about 2 years ago for the parks area up there. So we're looking at that. Planting trees, that aspect of it. We removed about 50 trees out of Bachman Park. They were all ash trees this winter. With emerald ash borer not found in city limits of Madison or within Lake County, from my understanding, but with it knowing that it's going to get here, we wanted to remove some of the older storm damaged aspect, not so nice looking ash trees and plant new ones. So we put 50 bare root trees in this spring a couple weeks ago. So that's been completed, and then we're going to try to do that every spring for the next 3 or 4 years, hopefully. There's been some shade solutions for aspect of foul balls at the ball diamonds on that aspect. We're looking at them options right now and trying to partner with some outside entities about the possibilities of working towards some shade solutions. Another exciting thing is, and it really doesn't, is the pollinator plots. We've designated two areas for pollinator plots. One of them is going to be at Jerry Maloney Nature Area on the prairie side, so it'd be on the east side of the creek. We drilled some pollinator in there, pollinator seeds last fall. Hopefully they take off good. Another spot is we put a 6-foot strip by about 100 foot up at the new Trojan Village green space area that the city acquired through the development of that property. And then we also have another area down by Southwest 4th Street that's kind of back and all secluded that the city owns that we're going to drill a bunch of pollinator in there so that for the wildlife aspect of it. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. That's basically the stuff that in the springtime, and then this study, the aspect of the study was we can try to plan financially responsible within the budget of what is best serving the residents of the town.
Yeah, so I mean, Mike outlined quite a few items there, and those are all items that he and his team are already working on. There's already been motion in those items, and so we're excited to see some of the investment and action moving forward in our parks. In the plan, we also outlined 11 other items that are in the up next category, things right. That are near future that we can start working on. And then we had another 4 items that are on the horizon, the things that might need to save up more for, or just aren't isn't the right time for them right now. So that's 15 more items that are in the parks plan that we didn't go through here today, but people are welcome to find the parks plan on our website. They can give us a call. We've got resources we can share there too. Excited to see those moving forward. I guess I would summarize some of that without going into in detail that we had a number of community findings also shown in our master plan that we took from the survey results and from other public input. For example, one thing that we found is that there's quite a bit of parks, or quite a few parks in town, that people are unsure about what their names are called or where they're located. We had some people that didn't know we had some assets. And so that's a fairly easy thing for us to do, but very important for us to do a better job of promoting our parks, making sure that we all understand what the right names for them are. I think the best example for that, I would use Memorial Park. So that's the park that had new playground equipment installed in about 2021. That's across the street from St. Thomas Church. So we refer to Memorial Park. We also hear people calling it St. Thomas Park or the Green Park or a number of other names as well. And so I think the Parks Board would probably be the group tasked with looking at all of our park assets to decide, okay, what do we want the official name to be? We can get up some signage. We can do a better job of promoting that, because people can't enjoy our park assets in town unless they know where they're at and they know what to call them. And there's other findings we found as well. I think just one that I'll mention is simply reinvestment and maintenance. We are a growing community. We've got some new housing developments in town. We're happy to see those move forward, and we'll look at trying to make sure that park assets are added where we can and where needed. But we also heard from a lot of people that just said, hey, we want to make sure that our current parks are invested in and maintained to a high standard. And so we admit that we have a couple of parks that it's been a long time since they've had new equipment or they've had a lot of investment. And so that's on our list to look at a couple of them in particular and seeing what we can do to do some reinvestment maintenance in there too.
Does like bike route or a bike trail stuff show up in the parks master plan at all, or is that its own separate deal?
Sure, a little bit of both. Okay. So I don't know when it was, Mike, the year before, was it maybe 22 or 23?
Yep, we did a rec trail comprehensive plan. We did a rec trail comprehensive plan, I think, in 2024. We had great feedback for that, and it also works for the aspect of trying to apply for grant funding options. I don't know, Jameson, if you want to talk about this or me, but we applied for 2 years of grants. We were unsuccessful, so now we're looking at a different grant option, and we have that plan initiated of where we're going to go with it through that rec trail comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
That basically sums it up.
Yeah. So it has its own plan that was a similar process, and it was a great opportunity for us to hear from the public. And I'll note that anytime we do any kind of community surveying or engagement opportunity on a broad scope, rec trails are probably about the number one thing that we hear. And so it definitely came up in the Parks Master Plan here. And even though it has its own plan, we did put some items in the master plan for specifically seeking out funding for construction of new trails, and then implementation of that as well. As Mike said, we tried for a smaller funding opportunity a couple of years and were unsuccessful, so now we're looking at some other opportunities that maybe might be bigger ones that take a little bit more time to apply for and administer, but could do a better job of expanding our trail system.
Yeah, it's tough because I think you said it's popular, but it's also probably the most expensive thing that you can try to do for
100%. And with the grant funding option, every community is trying to expand their rec trails, so they're all got their hands in the cookie jar,
right?
If you want to call it that. So
yeah, and everything costs a lot more than it did a few years ago, and so we're trying to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars and do the most that we can to invest those dollars. We've spent a lot of money in the last few years, not just in parks, but also in infrastructure across town, and that's our way of investing taxpayer dollars back into the systems that we use every day. But in the park side, Mike, we installed the Memorial Park Playground in 21. Do you remember how much that cost?
So the Memorial Park Playground, the total cost was about $225,000, but we had about $125,000 of it was funded through grants. Hmm. So basically $75,000 of it came out of the taxpayer aspect and out of the reserves, which we had built up the reserve yearly because we were planning on doing that for probably 5 years prior to it. The South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Conservation Grant, and then we also had a Walmart grant that we were able to obtain, and we used all that, and then some ADA funding that through a reserve too, because that playground's 100% ADA accessible to the community.
Nice. I don't know. Is there anything more on parks before we change subjects?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that covers it.
There have been, just on Tuesday the 5th alone, I think a couple of different items that came before the city commissions, a plural, that would revolve around ongoing data center possibility. And if you want to touch base with those real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking to a company called Giga Energy for a few months now about the possibility of a digital currency mining facility. Oftentimes, we refer to it as a data center.
Right.
In many ways, they're one and the same.
It's
a type of data center. We try to refer it as a mining facility because we don't want people thinking that we're going to have a large artificial intelligence data center that's been proposed in other parts of the state or country that have 400, 500 megawatt facilities. This is a 10 megawatt facility that would be primarily used for the mining of digital currencies. we learned recently that there is an opportunity they might do some cloud-based storage on that as well, but nothing that would be rising to the level of the artificial intelligence that we hear about maybe in the news and other areas. So we've been talking to them for a few months now, and for a project like that to be approved, there's quite a few steps. And most recently, one of the big steps was the Planning Commission considering a conditional use permit for this facility to be operating. And the site for the facility is proposed on a city-owned property next to our southeast substation, next to our generation plant. And so this is a currently bare piece of ground that would be proposed for this site. And the reason for that is because these facilities like to be really close to substations. It's good to be close to that source of power and to limit the amount of infrastructure needed to build out to their site. So that's why we're looking at that site. And so the Planning Commission had the two different hearings on the conditional use permit and also a variance needed for that site to be operational. And at this last Tuesday's Planning Commission meeting, they did approve those items. And so with the conditional use permit, this isn't just for data center, but there's a lot of other projects that require conditional use before operating. And basically what that says is that you can use the property for that proposed use under certain conditions. And the Planning Commission has the authority to set conditions based on any potential impacts that might be to surrounding property owners or anything else they think they feel is reasonable to be required. In this case, there was a lot of discussion on fencing, especially soundproofing, to limit noise that could be carrying over into other properties. So they are requiring a berm of dirt to be graded around most of the property, and then also sound fencing to be put on top of that berm. So I believe what they were looking at is a 6-foot berm and then a 6-foot fence on top of that berm, so 12 feet up to try to keep the noise in from that. And the noise is coming from fans that are on these units. So these are similar size to like a storage container placed onto concrete pads that they're anchored in onto these foundations. And then they have fans used to cool the computer servers in there that are mining these digital currencies. And so that's where the noise comes from. And the Planning Commission put those conditions on to try to mitigate that noise and to limit it to other properties. And they also talked about other things related to visibility and emergency access and other things that would be relevant to the site. So again, that was approved. That doesn't mean that this project is finished or approved. The next step is for the City Commission to approve or to consider a few agreements with Giga Energy. One is an electric service agreement, and what that would do, it would outline some of the requirements that they would have operating on our large load electric rate. So this is a special rate class that is eligible for large customers, 5 megawatts or larger, who are willing to have an interruptible rate. So in cases of emergency or in peak demand, the city as a utility or other entities as well could pull back their usage down to as low as 3%. And so for a customer who's willing to be interruptible, saying, you know, we're basically willing to shut off power to our property, they're going to be getting a rate that coincides with that privilege. And so that electric service agreement will outline a lot of the requirements of that large load electric rate. It also provides financial protections for the city, its ratepayers. It's going to include the allocation of any system costs to connect to our electric system being allocated to Giga as the customer. And there are also irrevocable increased utility deposit, higher than what we require of others, and irrevocable pre-funded accounts to decommission the site. So if they do close down, leave town, we're going to have money funded up front so that we can make sure that we can restore that property back to its original condition. So that's a lot of information. A lot of stuff in the electric service agreement. That's one thing for the City Commission to consider. And then the other thing that would also be required is a land lease agreement. Since we are the owners of the property, that would outline the operating fees, you know, the cost for Giga to rent that property from us, the duration of that contract, and other rights and responsibilities of both parties in terms and conditions. So two documents that cover a lot of very important things and in the city's eyes are requisite before we would move forward with this company. If those two items are approved, then they still have to do building permits with our engineering department. They have to make sure that drainage and fire coverage and all those things are also met. So those two items, the electric service agreement and the Land lease agreement would be coming up to the City Commission for consideration. Our current plan now is on the next meeting, which is Monday, May 18th. That meeting is at 5:30 p.m., that we would have kind of an overview of where we are at with this facility, what's happened, these documents I just outlined, and provide an opportunity for the public to ask questions, to express concerns, anything that they want to on this project would be at that time. And then we would not be taking action that night. Again, this is Monday, May 18th, discussion, overview, presentation, but no action. And then that gives a couple of weeks for everybody to consider all the information. And then on the first meeting in June, which is June 1st, City Commission will meet at noon. That's their regular noon meeting. They would have another opportunity for final public engagement and then action on those two documents.
So put those on your calendar, and if there's any changes to that, we'll let people know.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Sounds good. Well, appreciate you coming in today and keeping us updated. We'll check in again here when next time we talk. It'll almost be summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Swimming pool will probably be open by then.
It will be. So, yep, yeah. So we'll be opening up here later in this month of May.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you.